Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or you're simply catching up on a message that you missed, we're so glad that you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you'll experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word Give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I'm asking Bethany to come, and we are going to ask you to stand out of respect for God's word. If you brought your physical Bibles, I'm asking you to open them. We're going to read. You'll probably read from the screen because you'll have the right version. We're in the last chapter of Philippians. We're going to be in chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 to 13. I'll read the first, and then you will follow Bethany. Hear the word of the Lord. Always be joy. Be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Verse 5.
Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all that he has done. Verse 7.
Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy.
Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you.
How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know that you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Verse 11.
Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have.
I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And verse 13.
For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength.
Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. Well, I have been praying. Hold up your Bibles if you have your physical Bibles in the house. Yeah, the church that brings their Bibles. My prayer as I was praying for you today, and I'll say it again, that the oils of your fingertips will so connect with the pages of your Bible that it turns yellow. Isn't that a good thought? You're right? We are in the book of Philippians, and as we've gone through each chapter, a quick review. Chapter 1 was about how we live what's called normal Christianity. Chapter 2 was Jesus is the Son of God. Chapter 3, Pastor Debbie preached last week, where is your identity? Has it been stolen? Is it in Christ alone? And if I were to entitle chapter 4 today, this is a really good chapter. Now, my wife always gets on me because I always think the moment that I'm speaking, it is the best of all moments. They can't all be the best. Does this make sense? But chapter 4, if I were to entitle it, I would entitle it, God's Gifts for You. God's Gifts for You. Now, let me ask a question for us this morning. Do we grow more in difficulty or do we grow more when it's easy? The answer is obvious. We grow more when it's challenging. The greater the challenge, the greater the growth. Let me say it again. The greater the challenge, the greater the growth in our lives. But here's how we respond. When we're in the middle of it, we say, hey, Lord, deliver me. Take it away from me. And number two, do it ASAP, right here and right now. Am I the only one that has prayed that prayer and done it in that way? If you've been there and done that, can I get an amen? Amen. Now, let me tell you what the Bible says. Are you ready? The Bible says in the middle of those, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. It's number two, pray this prayer. What is it you want to teach me in this moment? Don't allow me to go through this struggle just for the sake of the struggle. Let me learn and grow and be shaped in a way that there's some rhyme or reason to what I'm experiencing. So here's Paul's final thoughts to this amazing church in Philippi, who, as I've already said, week in and week out, are under persecution. And he gave them three gifts that he's given to you and I today. Number one, he said this, God's peace is waiting for you. God's peace is waiting for you. Somebody say peace. Peace. Say it again, peace. Peace. Now, here's one thing that we all agree on. You may be online today. You may be in the sanctuary today, and you may not even believe in Jesus. You may not even believe in God, but we all want peace. The argument is how we obtain it, and how is it possible for us? The world tells us if you drink that Kool-Aid, that if you just get the right job, and if you just buy the right amount of toys, or if you have just the right image and the right family, and have all the luxuries of the world, you will have peace. How many know today that I will never deliver? There have been many that have done all of that, and they would stand on this stage and say, it will never deliver, but we all want peace. So here's Paul speaking to a church that's underneath it, a church that's facing persecution, a church that is young, a church that's trying to get started. And he says to them, keep your Bibles open. Verse 4, if you're going to have peace, we sang it. Thank you, Pastor Brant and team. He said this, always be full of joy. I say it again, rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. Rejoice. Say it again, rejoice. Rejoice. Verse 4 is an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It is for all of us. And here is Paul as an example. I'm in prison. I'm cold. I'm hungry. And death is screaming at me. And I have the joy of the Lord in me. And I'm declaring to you, church, he's speaking to the church in Philippi, and to us today, you still can rejoice. Now, here's what he's not saying. Don't ignore your challenge. Don't try to act like it's not there. But in spite of your challenge, decide that you will rejoice and you will be full of the joy of the Lord, because it's not contingent on what's around you. What you need to understand, as he's saying here today, is that that joy is possible and rejoicing is possible. Why? Because of the presence of the one who created us. The presence of Christ is that joy, and it can't be taken. Now, I already know those of you online are thinking to me or saying to me, well, Pastor, you don't know. I'm struggling with my family. I'm struggling with my children and with my marriage. I'm struggling with sin, and I'm struggling in this relationship or my job or my health. I can't rejoice. This is not what he's talking about. Yes, that is there. But we rejoice in the fact, number one, and Paul was able to do it, that Christ is victorious. And that can't change. Number two, this is so good. This is incredible gifts. That we are forgiven and we are new creations. You don't have to walk around anymore thinking I am a loser, trying to clean yourself up because you can't do it. He's already cleaned you up when he died and rose again. Can I get an amen? And we have the ability to rejoice that whatever happens in this moment, this small little thing called life, we have heaven before us. Paul's saying, this is why you rejoice. And when you do, peace will come with it. And when he says that, he moves to verse 5. Once you're able to rejoice, you there in verse 5? Be considerate. Oh, there's a tough one. In all ways to all people. Why? Because the coming of the Lord is upon us. Verse 5. We've been in a day and age where we are grumpy. And we like to complain. And we like to argue. And we like to be right. And in that moment, Paul's saying, let's put it into perspective. If you have the ability to have peace, you will start to be more considerate of other people. It won't always be about you. It won't always be that you are right. It's about you thinking about others first, because you already have peace in your own life. Can I get an amen? Jesus modeled this in John 8. You know the story. They brought the woman caught in adultery. They didn't care about the woman. To be honest, they didn't care whether she committed it or didn't. They didn't care whether she lived or she died. But they were all about trapping Jesus. And as they were trying to trap him, they said, the law of Moses said, if you're caught in this act, you should be killed. But they already knew under the Roman authority that they couldn't do this. As a result, they were trying to trap him. Jesus wouldn't play. He gets down on the ground and he starts to write. And he asks those questions that ring out from verse 5. He who's without the first sin, throw that stone. And the rocks and the stones began to drop. What he's saying in verse 5, he looked at, go back to John 8, I should say. And he looked at the woman, he says, I don't condone what you've done. Go and leave your life of sin. He was considerate to her. He came alongside her in her moment. He didn't try to beat her up, but yet he called her to a higher life. And he's saying to us today, if we're going to practice the peace of God in our lives, we first begin to rejoice, and then we start to drop the stones, and then we'll be able to be considerate with one another. Does this make sense to anybody? Because peace only comes as we have great relationship with one another also. If you're in turmoil all the time with people, stop blaming all the people. It's easy to blame everybody else and be the victim. But at the end of the day, I stand before God for me and not for anybody else. Does this make sense to anybody? God help us today. Now, he's given us peace because we rejoice. Verse 5, he's given us peace because we are considerate to one another. But here's the good one. Verse 6, you know it should be full of your finger oil. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Are you there? Everything. Tell God what you need. Anybody have a need today? Tell God what you need and thank him that he's already done it. That's really, really good. And then verse 7 says what? Then you will experience what? God's peace. Peace which will exceed anything that we can understand. It's supernatural. And his peace will what? Guard your heart. Guard your mind as you continue to live in Christ. Here's what he's saying. You have a choice today. You can worry or you can pray. There's nothing, you can't go to the Greek to get any greater meaning than that. You decide what you're going to do. Are you going to worry and be anxious? Or are you going to cast your care upon the one who already loves you? Now, the problem in the church is we know that right here. But I ask you today, with whatever it is you're facing, how many of you continue to worry, continue to stress, and you're not praying about it? We've got to get to the point in our lives, and it's not a one and done, it's continuous. In order to have the peace of God, this gift that he's given us in the midst of our challenges, is I have to make that choice every day and say, and I can tell you, just like you, I have these challenges before me, and in those moments of those challenges, what I do is I say it just like this, Lord, this is yours. I can't handle it. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. It's going to take me out. So it's yours. Take it, Lord. And he promises us in verse 7, doesn't he? If I do that, even though the situation is still there, I will have a peace and I will have the Lord that will go beyond understanding, and he will guard my heart and my mind. It's a guarantee. That's a gift for all of us today. So stop worrying. Stop continuing on in the path you're going. This is why scripture is so amazing. You want the peace of God? Don't make it abstract. Give it to God. And then he says, I'll do my part. Let me illustrate it this way. This Friday night, I've told you our church and our challenges will happen because we become a people of prayer. Not talk about it, but actually do it. That we would pray before services and people would be praying and worshiping. They would come in and then our visitors would come in and say, what's just happening here? Because of the Spirit of God. We pray once a month as a church. This particular month, we prayed this past Friday because of Memorial Weekend, but typically the fourth Friday of every month. The Holy Spirit fell upon this place. We didn't even get to the second agenda. And we had people up here and we were praying over people for over an hour. And the Holy Spirit came down. Why do I tell you that? As we pray, verse 6 and 7, it's not just praying by yourself. It's praying together with the brethren and the sisters in the church and the body of Christ. I was getting emails from people after the fact that said, I was delivered. I was freed. My spirit has been changed as a result of that Friday night. Our world, we are looking at a plan or an agenda that's going to change the world. But what's going to change the world is the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in and does something in our lives. Now, here's my next thing as your pastor. I'm now putting on my shepherding hat. Here's my vision. The problem with where we are as a church is that we'll experience something like that, and some of you will hear about it. Number one is I want it to be so exciting that it's on your calendar, and it has to be an extreme situation that you wouldn't be here because you like, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. I'm going to be there. That's the first thing. The second thing that I would say to you is this. We need to come, if we have a family that we're engaged with our kiddos and with our children. We have put our kids in somewhere else. They're not experiencing what we experience, and we wonder why we are struggling. We need to be there that our kids can experience the same thing as we are experiencing as adults. Can I get an amen? So I challenge you to that. He's saying to us, if you want peace, this is the way you're supposed to do it. No more stress. I don't want it. Anybody else? I have to choose every day. The key point is this. Pray with your heart, expecting God to accomplish his will in us. And peace will follow. And peace will follow. This peace is for everyone. It's for everyone. It's not the people you think have a corner on God, or that God somehow loves them more than you. The Bible is clear. We do not serve a God that is a God of favoritism or that isn't prejudiced against us. It's for all of us. So wherever you're at, if you believe, today you can walk out of this church knowing, Lord, it's yours. And his peace will be yours. And if you can't get through it by yourself, pull the brothers and sisters and say, I need your help. That's the church being the church in 2021. That was the church in the first century. That's the way we started the church, and that's the way we're gonna finish the church. Anybody with me? Well, I typically have a whole lot more information than I have time for, even though I talk really fast, so we're going to the second gift. Not only is there God's peace, the second is God's perspective is available for you. Verses 8 and 9. Can somebody say, your way, Lord? Again, your way, Lord. He has so many gifts for us, and we simply don't receive them. And this is amazing. He's saying, I want to give you a gift. And the gift is this. I want you, for example, on Friday, it wasn't that people's problems changed. It was that they were changed. They had God's perspective, and as a result, they were empowered to go out and be God's agents to whatever it is they're dealing with. That's what I mean by this gift called perspective. It's for all of us. He says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. Romans 12 says, we need to what? We need to renew our mind. How often? Daily. There's something implied there, that there's a battle on in the mind. Therefore, you need to have it renewed, replacing lies with truth, right? Knowing that Ephesians 6 says, therefore, we put on the helmet of salvation. We put up the shield of faith to distinguish every fiery arrow of lies that come our way. So how do we do this? How do we have God's perspective? I just gave you a broad way, but Philippians 4:8 tells you, this is the way you do it. Look at verse 8. Clearly, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, everyone, think about this stuff. And all of a sudden, you'll get God's perspective. Again, not in denial of what you're facing, but in spite of what you are facing. It is a gift for all of us. Whatever is true, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8, whatever is true. In other words, as I already said, replacing the lie. Pastor, I'll never have a good marriage. It's a lie. Pastor, my kids that are prodigal will never come back. It's a lie. Pastor, I'll never be successful. It's a lie. Pastor, I will never be able to overcome my health issue. It's a lie. Replace the lies with the truth. Whatever is true, think about that. And the truth is right here. Does anybody believe this is the truth this morning? I'll ask you again, church. Does anybody believe this is the truth? That it is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It is the Spirit of God speaking to us today. It is God breathed for everything that we need. And he says, think about what is true and it will change you. Honorable, things I can bring up in the light. Things that are right. Doing what is right sometimes will cost you. Because we live in a world where wrong is right and right is wrong. That's why you will shine, going back to Philippians 2, you will shine like the stars in a crooked and depraved generation. The more you focus on what is true, honorable, and right, whatever is pure, uh-oh, now he's going off and stepping on some toes. Whatever is on your device, whatever it is you are looking on in entertainment, whatever you're Netflixing or whatever your streaming service is, at the end of the day, I will repeat Jesus and not Mick. That's a good thing to do. The eyes are the lamp of the body. What comes into the body is who you become. Paul says, whatever is true, honorable, right, and pure, and whatever is lovely. What is lovely? I'm glad he elaborates. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not easily angered. Love does not delight with evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails. I'm gonna think about those things. Anybody with me today? This will give us God's perspective. It's a gift for us. If anything's admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, excellent or praiseworthy. I'm glad you understand that in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, the first century had this challenge and our century has the same challenge. He says, do not give up on meeting together. I'll say it again. Do not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching. Remember when he said earlier, I said to you, he said, compliant or sympathetic or come alongside people because the day of the Lord is upon us. What we're doing right here in this sanctuary is becoming a situation in our country where less and less folks are willing to do it. But the Bible says when you start coming up against it and the end of days are upon us, we are going to need each other. We are going to need each other. We are going to need each other. And it's in that, I can tell you that from the persecuted areas of the world I've lived in. We are going to need each other. So let's encourage one another in that moment. For example, you may have walked in today and you're just hard to focus. It's hard to worship. And even as I'm speaking right now to you, you're still, your mind is going with all the things that you're experiencing or the struggle. I'm here to declare to you, when we come together and we start sharing together, we are trying to lift your spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit, saying, we can do this together. This makes sense. Doing what God has called us to do. What I love, and the God of peace is giving us, verse 9. He will give us this peace as we get his perspective. I love Romans 16, 20. You like that? And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath his what? Feet. Can you repeat that with me? Say, and the God of peace. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath his feet. In a moment, we'll be singing it because it's the truth. It gives you God's perspective. It's only halftime, but what we know is that we win. And that keeps me keeping on even when not all of my questions are answered. Does this make sense? The first gift, the key point is this: God's perspective changes us and enables us to face our what? Our today. God's perspective changes us and enables us to face our today. First gift is God's peace, right here in chapter 4. Second is God's perspective, verse 8. Let me give you the third one. And I think they're all amazing. These are incredible gifts. The third one, the third gift and the final is this: God's strength makes the impossible possible for you. God's strength makes the impossible possible for you. Can somebody say, do it, Lord? Say it like you mean it. Do it, Lord. Now, what do we see here? We have Paul in verses 10 to 12. Are you there? He's saying, I'll summarize. I've learned what it's meant or what it's like to have plenty. I've lived there. I was the Pharisee of all Pharisees. I was the dude. I was the one that came to me. I had the prestige and the position and everything else. But I've also been where my belly was empty. And what I've learned in all of it is this: that whether I have plenty or I don't, I've learned to be content in all of this, knowing that none of it, whether I'm in need or whether I am and not in need physically, I am in spiritual need, knowing I can't do this without him. Why? For Paul, it was not Christ plus something else. For many of us in America, oh, I love Jesus, but then we add something else. Something else we add into the equation. Nothing else can be added into the equation. Jesus said, you must love me. Number one, hands down, no doubt whatsoever. Question for you. Do you honestly believe today? You can answer this for yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that Christ is enough for you? Think about that for a moment. Is that at that moment that his strength makes the impossible possible? Once I start to live this way, then 1 John 4:4 becomes a reality. For greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, right? And then in Zechariah, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, what? Declares the Lord. How many of you today are in the middle of a situation that feels a little bit impossible? You're under it. And you know that your charisma, your talent, your skill, your history, your ability can't fix it, and you can't get through it. You are simply saying, I can't do it. If we were honest, there would be a lot of us with our hands raised. Right? These verses are connected in such a way that you need to understand. He tells us the beauty of all this is verse 13. You can't, but verse 13 you should have memorized. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. How many things?
All
things. Doesn't matter what it is. That's what he wants us to live. That's how he wants us to live. In the moment that I can't, but he can. That's what it's all about. I no longer can do it. When I am weak, he is what? Strong. You should be quoting this verse as a gift day after day. I don't know what this week will carry for you. It changes so fast, does it not? But regardless of the news and regardless of the challenges that we have, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the same guy that in chapter 1 said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he articulates that a whole lot better in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He says, his grace is sufficient, for his power is made perfect in what? My weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more in my strength. Oh, I will boast in my what? My weakness. We live in a society where you don't let them know you sweat. You got to show them that you've got it together. I've even taught leadership classes saying, man, if you start to waffle, if you start to waver, they will eat you alive. Even in churches, God help us. But that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is that each and every one of us have this temptation to say, I can do it or he can do it. We have stories like David. What happened in that moment? It was David facing a giant, and it was David in his weakness that God in his strength brought down the giant. It was Gideon with 300 that faced a massive army that was in his few men that brought the victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem is this. Are you still with me? The problem is we are not willing to share our weakness, demonstrate our weakness. We don't trust each other. We don't feel like we can truly go there. But it's not until we go there that I can do all things through Christ. I got to first admit I can't, and then he can. I'm going to be a little vulnerable to you. I don't know that I've ever said this, but standing before you is Philippians 4:13 and 2 Corinthians 12:9. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, when I was a young lad, you may not know, I have a speech impediment and I have the problem of stuttering. And when I was young, I wasn't able to read. And back in the day, they just threw you in the special classes, didn't care what anybody thought. There was no such thing as language therapy. They sent you away. I remember those days back in the early 70s. And my brain works, if you've been in KCC, you already know. My brain works so fast. When I was a child, my tongue and my lips can't catch up with what my brain is saying. And as a result, stuttering. Now, you have to really be close to me to know that when I get really fatigued, there will be moments where stuttering comes out again. I also have a speech impediment. I can't say W's and R's. When there's a word that has a W and an R back to back, I get really freaked out because it comes out in a mess. And I'm a public speaker, I'm a preacher. So we joke as a staff, we have these things, well, I preach Mickisms. Words come out that are not of the English language. The thing is, he speaking in tongues or what? I have no idea. And what I say to you is this. Why do I tell you that? In my strengths, my weaknesses, I will only boast, because it's in that moment I stand before you with complete confidence and complete anointing and complete blessing. I may not be the best wordsmith. I may not be the best preacher, because that's not the desire. The desire is to bring the word of God in my weakness, that you could say through his weakness, we see the power of God. And so I stand before you with that. I say that to say, what is yours? And when is it enough is enough that you're able to bring the veil down so that you truly can experience 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or like the little David, the little boy who faced the giant, and he knew that his God that delivered him from the paw of the bear or the mouth of the lion was going to deliver him from the giant. That's what we need today. What is your challenge? What is your weakness? In those moments, his strength becomes evident. And if we're going to win the world, who won't walk through these doors, who think we're a bunch of hypocrites, who think that we're not being real, it's this point that will draw them in. When we are being real and honest, and we show them the power of the gospel of Jesus, then they're like, I want some of that. You agree? Wow, I got done good, even though I thought I would go overtime. Let me give you my key point. God's strength is available for us when we live a life with complete dependence upon him. A life complete dependence on him. Here's how I want to close. My next steps are, we need to pray for God's peace today. We need to engage truth and experience God's perspective. And we need to begin to live a life with dependence. You're not going to fool anybody at the end of the day. We all want something, and we know what that something is, and it's Jesus in a world that desperately needs it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Before you leave quickly and run off out of the sanctuary to whatever your day is, maybe you will be surprised that the Holy Spirit wants to say something to you. What is it? I gave you three truths and three gifts that he wants for all of us. A God that doesn't show favoritism. How many here today with your hand raised would say, I need one of these truths, and I need it now. Keep them up. Come on, who needs it? If you don't need any of these truths, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Keep your hands raised just for a moment. Online, I want you to write to your host, I need one of these truths, and our host will engage you. Keep your hands raised because I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I pray for those on my left with their hands raised high. You know exactly, you hemmed them together in their mother's womb. And I'm asking right now you would meet them, you would anoint them, and you would fill them with your Holy Ghost. And they would experience what it means to have these gifts in the midst of times that are very crazy. And to my right, I pray the exact same thing, that you would give these folks exactly what they need. You know exactly their hearts, their situations, their challenges. And I'm praying right now you would meet them, young and old alike. We come together at the foot of the cross as a needy people. We need your peace. Can somebody say, I need peace? Repeat after you say, I need your perspective. Lastly, I need your strength. Do you hear our cry, Lord? Hear our cry. We need it. We need it now. May you be glorified through it. May you take us to greater days as a result. We love you. We love you. Pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said.